Blog Talk Radio.
Sean Pace, you know, we don't own the rights to that song, but we just want you to know, understand that God's doing great things for each and every one of us. So we're glad to be back here. This is Talking Real to You. I am the host, Dr. Loretta D. Smith, and I'm excited. We've been off a couple weeks enjoying the holiday, enjoying the summer, but we have full force tonight. I have a co-host and I have my special guest expert on here tonight. So, and plus all of you listeners, we appreciate you joining us tonight. So we're really excited about having an opportunity to come before you through this particular vehicle. This is a special vehicle. Now, the title for our show tonight is Real Talk About Social Media Friends versus Real Friends. Now, before I go any further, I want to make sure I allow my co-host to welcome you to the show tonight, as well as my special guest expert. Our co-host standing far to the north of Montgomery, and I have to call out like that, and this young lady is being blessed with some awesome opportunities and getting a chance to get head up the road to further north to Huntsville, Alabama, to grad school at Alabama A&M University. co-host, none other than my daughter, Lauren D. Smith. How you doing, Lauren?
Oh, good evening, everyone. I'm glad to be back. Glad to be in full force tonight. Ready to start a good work for y'all with some good topics that we have planned for you guys. So make sure you call in to the call-in number. Let's go ahead and get it started.
That's awesome. I'm glad to have you back, Lauren. It's always good to be in the presence. One special thing about this show, it is a family affair. Now, we just played off, like I said, LaShawn Pace, and he keeps doing great things for me as well as everybody here on this show, as well as everybody listening up. But also, to the north, it's sort of like northeast of us in the state of Georgia, you have our special guest expert. This is Dr. Olivia E. Smith. How you doing, Doc?
Good afternoon or good evening, everyone. Good evening, Coach Lauren. How are you?
I'm fine.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, she sounds kind of tired there.
Yeah.
But it's all good. We're ready to go here tonight because, see, like I said, we have some topics. But the call-in number, we want to make sure you call in. That's 347-857-4192. Now, if you want to go to the web link to hear the show, you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. And if you're interested in tweeting us, you can tweet us at Talking Real to You, as well as at Lorenza D. Smith and at Kiwi_don't_care. So we look forward to you communicating with us many kind of ways. We got some dynamic conversation for you tonight. We're going to focus not only talk about social media friends as well as real friend, that's versus real friend. We're going to look at some social issues that are occurring in our community. We're going to look at family issues that occurred within our homes and so on, as well as our community. And we're going to look at a few political topics because, you know, election in Alabama, and I'll use Alabama, primaries occurred a week ago, and we had some people to come out. We had some old folks, and there's some people that have been there a while, no longer in those positions after 40 years. So we want to talk about some of the issues referring to each and every one of those areas right there. All right, team, we're going to kind of start tonight off with looking at social media. The real talk about social media friend versus real friend. And I want us to kind of just jump into that topic because as I get started off saying that, you know, people have equated at times social media friend as being a real friend. And we know, and we're talking about various avenues. Now, you may have your friend on these various social media vehicles. In particular, you might be Facebook friend with a friend, classmate, and that's how we connect with our classmate. But also, some people have over 5,000 Facebook friends, and you most likely don't know 5,000 people to call your real friend. But some people have equated their social media friends to be real friends. So we want to talk about social media friends versus real friends. And I want y'all to jump in and head first. And just make sure when you're coming at, you just let us know who's talking. Now, if you want to call in, I gave you the number, 347-857-4192. Press 1. And then I will identify with the last four digits of your cell, a telephone number, and then ask you to come on and share your thoughts after you identify yourself as well as your location. All right, team, what do y'all think about these social media friends versus real friends?
Well, I think social media is a tool that we all can connect to throughout the world. We can connect to people. However, I think my reality friends are the people I actually know. And whereas I may know some people on social media, but as you said, I don't have 5,000 friends. But those 5,000 friends may be the airway to just communicating in general.
Awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome, Doc. Okay.
So I don't have 5,000. I looked it up today. It's like 3. Do I know 3,000 people? Of course not. Do I know 1,000 of those people? Yeah. Do I consider 1,000 of those people my friends? No. How many friends do I have out of those 1,000? probably 30. And I had 26 people to graduate my class. So you can do the math. I'm only friends with those people, really. So, like I said, that social media, we've taken that to a whole nother level. That was really for entertainment, and that's what I use Minds for. But, yeah, I don't know 3,000 people. I only talk to 30 of my 1,000 people that I actually know. So, yeah.
He said, so are you. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right, both of y'all sharing that. And I gave the number 5,000 because that's the max what you can have on Facebook in regards to it. But you also have avenues of Instagram. You have avenues of Twitter, and y'all have Tumblr. You have so many ways to connect with individuals and have so many people you would consider a friend. Now, my biggest challenge with social media friends equating to real friends, and it said versus real friends, is that a lot of times people around you have a tendency to identify, and that's where we get to a point where people have a hidden motive. They really think because you have all these Facebook friends, or you may communicate with those Facebook friends, they equate that you are now real friends with them. In reality, they are not real friends. They're just somebody on Facebook that you may communicate with, or in essence, use that vehicle to share thoughts with people and share things. For example, Coach Smith just mentioned about her friends, classmates from high school. Those classmates, she can be friends with. Now, she said, those are my real friends. Are those people I actually know? Those people I actually can identify with? And that way, I can actually say they may be my friend because I spent 4 to 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years with them in some form through the educational process, even after finishing college, if you're finishing high school and even up to college. Some people, you meet individuals in college. You meet people on your job that you may be able to communicate. Now, the question is it possible? Can you have a real friend on your job through Facebook or through Twitter or through Instagram? Can you have a real friend that you just met on your job and say, okay, because she started off as social media friend, now they are my real friend? And I, those are the kind of things I want us to kind of talk about. So, when you do meet people, even having social media friends on your job, can you now say they're your real friends? Are you willing to open up with those individuals? And how I want to look at that and want us to look at it is that a lot of times people put everything that's going on with them on Facebook, everything that's going on Instagram. It's enough that only people that know you should know. So are people really, when you look at Facebook, people got all this stuff running across about them on their news feed, whether they just cooked a steak or they just went to whatever restaurant, you can call out any one, Golden Corral, and this is what they had their plate for today. This is what I had for lunch today. Is that where you feeling so comfortable that those people know I'm just your social media friend, they consider to be your real friend? When you start giving everybody information, all the information about you, then you have a tendency now open yourself to turn what may be social media into reality. Give me your thoughts on that, team. Give me your thoughts on just people doing things and placing things on Facebook, placing things on Instagram. And when you put it on their personal, do you now bring these people into from out of social media to reality? Give me your thoughts on that, team.
Well, I do believe that some people join social media groups, whatever, and in their minds they may become your friends. But because, for me, due to the nature of the work that I do, I limit myself on social media, Twitter, etc. Good, maybe, but I know there's another arena that I may talk to my professional friends with. I may talk to them through another arena, a direct message or a I'm sorry about that. It's storming, and someone was sending me a message. But those people I can talk to in a different arena. I'm on social media myself, and that's limited to Facebook, only because I'm following my nieces and nephews, looking at what they're doing, and as Lauren say, looking at the entertainment, because that's what it is for me, but I can stay in touch with them, and I can cheer them on as they make certain accomplishments. But because I'm on Facebook does not mean that I'm reaching out to everyone. I may not accept every friend request that is sent to me because my world is very small. And that's for professional and political reasons. So it becomes that for me. It's not the... I'm not trying to extend the social contact thus far, further than what it is, because I know what my goal is and my aim is, and I'm hoping that makes sense.
Oh, that makes plenty of sense. Plenty of sense.
I'm sorry?
I said that makes plenty of sense.
Yeah,
we have to kind of limit it. We put things out there, especially whatever profession we might be in, that requires you dealing with people and some personal issue with people, and you just can't put information or put yourself in a position to, because you never know, and you know for a fact who's on that other side, because there's a such thing as catfishing, and people have to catfish you with being a gender. They can catfish you when they're trying to get information from you too as well, and sometimes people try to set you up and try to set their thought. Now, that's one thing I think social media has been used for a lot of people. And whatever position you're in, you have to be kind of careful how you put the information. Allow yourself to be open to all kind of communication, because it's good for some people, it's not good for others.
Right.
And I see it that way. I see it that way. All right, Coach, what you got on that, Coach?
Okay, so I have Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. My Snapchat, I actually have two. No one knows this, but I have two. And I coach. So on one of them, I have my kids on it, so I'm nosy. I'm trying to see what you're doing, who you're hanging with, this, that, and the third. That's one of them. And the second one I have is personal. Now, I work a summer job now, and I have added, like, two people that I work with onto my personal Snapchat just because, I mean, we work together. I think it's funny. We do a lot of funny stuff at work, and I post it, boom, boom, boom. It's just like that. But I like to keep it balanced and separate. I have a work Snapchat, and I have a professional Snapchat. The two never mix. Facebook is entertainment. I'm on there joking, laughing, talking about stuff. That's entertainment. My Instagram, I have a personal Instagram. I don't add everybody on my Instagram. That's just not me. I have some of my kids on there. That's not, I don't put all my business on in there anyway, but it's just some things that I post on Instagram that I think are personal to me that I don't want everybody seeing. My Twitter is a little, I think I need to clean it up personally, but it's a little, I've added everybody, but as I've become a little more experience when it comes to coaching. Now I have a lot of coaches on there. I have a lot of motivational things on there. It has moved far from the ignorant side, as I say that it once was. So all the, you know, joking, laughing, all that stuff like that, my Twitter no longer consists of that. It consists of me trying to find coaches, trying to get my kids seen, stuff like that. So I always tell people this, especially if you're between the ages of 18 and 25, you need to make sure that you have two accounts. It's cool to play on one, but don't mix business with personal. So don't play on your business account and don't get personal on your business account. Don't put business on personal, put personal on business, and you'll be fine. You'll be cool. Also, if it's any, well, basically everybody, be careful what you put on the internet. I had a situation a couple weeks ago where, you know, something happened and kids recorded and put it on the internet. Now those kids have a possibility of facing cyberbullying charge for what they put on the internet, just thinking it was funny or just thinking being a kid and living in that moment. So I always tell people, just be careful what you put on social media. Don't take it so serious. And if you do add people from work, make sure you add them on your business account where you're talking about business, where you're sharing business, not where you're telling your personal business. I don't think sharing personal business on the internet is cool anyway, but if that's what you're into, then cool. I've had friends that put their personal business on the internet and get mad when everybody knows their personal business. Well, you shouldn't have put it on the internet if you didn't want everybody to know. That's how I see that. And just be careful with social media. It was created for entertainment to basically expose your life and tell day-to-day things. I know over the past couple of weeks, I know people are, well, you've been doing the same thing. Well, I have had an injury, and I want to document that, and I want people to see how my progress is going, how my rehab is going. So that's why I put my personal business out there. But any other personal matters have not been put on there. So just be careful what you put on there.
And culture is so right in regards to that, because, you know, even with we're talking about social media friends versus real friends, I know in my experience with certain people, I've encountered people who actually have equated when you were friends with somebody, they take that and use it how they feel like they want to use it. They use it to the point where they want to now put you or attach to those individuals. But then you have some people that use this so-called, because they my Facebook friend, my Twitter account, my Instagram account, that I can say whatever I want to say about them. And when I say it, there's no consequence. But we got to keep in mind, and Coach Smith just shared with us, that if you get to the point that you're going to be charged with harassment, you know, legally you'll deal with it not only with a criminal situation, but also with a civil situation, because you have to be careful what you put on Facebook. You have to be careful about what you put out there. That's even for the person that's putting it out there. If you're the person and you got people that's considered to be Facebook friends, you have to be very careful about that. But since we're talking about how we sort of like say comparing or one against the other one, like social media friends with reality friends, why do they on social media, some people can say basically anything they want to? You know, I just said civil and criminal. I was getting a little bit ahead of myself. And there's no backlash. Or if it is backlash, it could be in the political arena, personal arena. It also can be affect your job. And I think Coach Smith just shared something, as well as Dr. Smith. When Dr. Smith shared about, you know, my job don't allow me to get on there and befriend all these people. Don't allow me to do that because of my job. Here Coach Smith saying, yes, she on her job, she only opened up for a few people on her job this summer, and she's also using it to document what's going on with an injury that might happen to you, and you might need to see how the progress and her recommendation of who helped you out. So it could be good, but it also could be to the point where some people use it in the wrong manner. And there have been several situations recently where people have taken Facebook and tried to destroy somebody's character to the point where they were warned not to do it, but they continue to do it. But they say, we are friends. So what they did, whatever the issue was, it equated from being their social media friends to being a real friend. That's my real friend. I can say what I want. No, you can't say what you want. But, you know, that's what we're looking at when we're dealing with social media. So my point about that, you're going to be affected many ways. And many ways mean that you can deal with the public as a backlash going to be against you when you go public. And when you, even if you decide to be in the political arena, you have to be careful if you're supporting the candidate. Now, if you're not supporting the candidate, you can get a backlash from that. It can affect your job. People can't really deal with it. You know, they're not going to hire you. We talk about how we sit around, we can say whatever we want to people, thinking that person is our friend over there. And you never know, it might be a person that's in the hiring, doing the hiring practice of a certain field that you're going in. So it could be detrimental to you if you use it in the wrong way. So if you want to share some thoughts, team, on that, we'll talk about a few more minutes about that.
Well, Let me speak from the criminal arena. Just in the past 7 days, I have witnessed from afar two young men make certain statements on Facebook, and those statements, one has led to Homeland Security following up, filing federal charges, and another one who has given the police an opportunity to get involved in a statement that was made, and again pursuing criminal charges. Some of these statements that are made, or you may be speaking to other people, but you come out with a charge, felony aggravated assault, federal assault on a police officer. And it's simply nothing that you did but what you said you would do. And you see, those things come into play, and we don't realize the extent of that. I think, you know, the millennials, Generation X, have had access to social media, and it's truly an outlet. It really is. But some of us, how we use it is the part, like when we state our public or political views, sometimes it does cause backlash. Sometimes it leads to us going to jail. But we cannot say any and everything we want to. It's just like screaming or yelling fire in a crowded theater, and you know there's no fire, so what happens? You get charged. And so for some people, because of the restrictions, because of hiding behind the media, if we say certain things, we have to get jobs here, because people put labels on you. People look at threats that you've made, even though they may be subtle or not even a threat, but you have to explain it. And if the person that it was meant for does not get it, somebody will intercept. Mm-hmm. And that's my perception of that. Somebody intercepts that. And, Lauren, you could agree or disagree. Tell me, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree. I always say when it comes to that, you know, I keep telling people to be careful. And when you look back, because now they have something on Facebook called Facebook memory, so you can look back a year, five, six, whatever, however long you've been out, you can go back. And if you find yourself looking back and was like, what was I thinking? Like, I didn't get caught saying this. And 5 or 6 years ago, the internet wasn't how it is now. You got people losing their job over racist statements or assaults or fights from people recording. And we know nowadays nothing is a private matter anymore. Everybody got a phone. It's a public matter. Do you disagree with somebody in public? Oh, well, pull my phone out. Oh, you said something to my homeboy? Oh, let me pull my phone out. Or we pull it to the gas station, and you say something else about our music being loud, let me pull my phone out. Everything is a pull my phone out moment. So now we have to realize, okay, pull my phone out. Is this worth me losing my job? Is this worth me losing my family? Is this worth me catching a charge? Is this worth me doing 6 months in jail? Is me saying that I cannot stand the president that's running our country? I want to do something. Is that worth me losing everything I work so hard for? I always tell my guys this. You do right now things for later consequences. So I'm going to do something right now and just take the consequence later. That's not how we live. We're living for right now consequences. Everything that you do, anything you put, anything you say, any action you make is a right now consequence. It may not bite you right now. But sometimes when you get bit by a mosquito, it may not itch right then. It may itch 2 or 3 days down the line. You know what I'm saying? So we just got to be mindful and careful. Just watch. Be aware. You see something, say something. Just be aware of what's going on, because this is not my grandma's America. I tell you, this is not my grandma's America. This is a different day and time. We all have to be alert. Just stay alert.
Wow. You know, and Coach Smith, you hit it on the head. That's one of the things, and you was bringing up a situation that's been in the news and it's sports related, but it's social issue related because it deals with one of the professional athletes who made a statement when they were 17 years old, and that was 7 years ago. You know, a lot of the things we have now, we probably didn't have 7 years ago. And it might have been grandma, Facebook, old-fashioned Facebook, space page, or whatever you want to call it. I'm trying to share a thought with you. But it's basically coming back to hunt that person now, where he made some racist statements, and he made some statements about homophobia and homophobia. So the thing about it is coming back hunting him, where he has hunting him now to let him know he has to apologize and also may affect his job as a professional athlete. So you got to be very careful about what you put out there. Something you said, and Laura brought a good point up, and I appreciate her sharing that thought, that they have something where they can go back and pull stuff that when you first got on Facebook, it could have been 2008. That's 10 years ago. Some people have been back 2006. And you talking about 10 years ago, something you said in the heat of the moment, something you said to somebody else. Now, we want you to share your thoughts, and we want you to call in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Just share your thoughts on it. Team, let's kind of look at another topic. It's more or less not tied into Facebook, but it's about labels. Labeling people, and it said, you know, you get a label. We all get a label. What kind of label do you want to attach to yourself, and what kind of label is acceptable in our society? What kind of label that you see yourself is, and how is it important to start labeling people who they are and who they might be? Just want to talk about a person being labeled, and is that a good or bad thing?
Well, I don't know that it's a good thing because who am I to label you on Facebook? Who am I to judge you? And it just comes back to that. What kind of label is there to place on someone on Facebook?
Or whether it's Facebook or not, it's just in society. Some people can label people as being a type A. You probably hear it. We probably hear this more so. She has a type A personality. That could be a label. So when you say, what is a type A personality? Or you say, I am. This is who I am. This is my label. One of the biggest things that's going around now is a brand. We all have a brand. It's how we promote whatever brand. Which is, if we all be labeling ourselves, or somebody label us and we're adopting what they said. Is it important to adopt what people come at you with a label, or you to allow yourself to have a label or have a brand? So it's all about labeling people right now. What's your thoughts on that, Laura? What you think about people being having a label? And it could be they're type A, they're aggressive, they're slow, they're passive, they're go-getter. Whatever they hashtag may be. What do you think about labeling people?
Personally, when it comes to any kind of label, I really don't like labeling people. Just because I don't believe in labels. I believe once you label someone, then you expect them to live up to that label, or you expect them to act as so. So I can, like, people say I'm lazy all the time. I'm not lazy. I do what I want when I want. I'm not lazy. Just because I don't want to do what you want me to do, that doesn't make me lazy. You get what I'm saying? People, they say I'm irresponsible. Some people say I was irresponsible. Just because I don't do what you want me to do when you want me to do, that doesn't make me irresponsible. Just because sometimes, I forget to do this, and that doesn't make me irresponsible. That just means I got a lot on my mind. I'm doing a lot right now. I'm not irresponsible. I just got a lot on my mind. So I really don't like labels. And like I tell people all the time, I just said this. This is not my grandmother's America. So now we have people who are labeling kids as this kid is this, and this kid is that, and this kid is that. right now, me and my sister are watching a documentary on Netflix called Last Chance You, and a lot of these kids on this documentary have been labeled. They have been labeled as they won't amount to anything. If football doesn't work out, they'll probably be back on the streets. Who are you to label this young man as such? How do you know that? Do you are you Miss Cleo? Do you have a ball in front of you telling you that this kid won't beat anything? So now you see kids who have been told it since they were 5 years old and they're 19, 20 years old, and they've lived up to that label. So they're not going to do their working class. They're not going to strive to be anything because ever since they were five, you told them they weren't going to be anything. Those labels have to be done with, demolished, gotten rid of. We have to do better as people, as a society, as America. Like I said, this is not my grandmother's America. Be careful what you say and be careful the seed that you sow into these children because that seed will one day grow, whether it's a good seed or a bad seed. It's fruitful or it's not. We always say you must build a foundation. Sometimes you can build bad foundations with kids. Sometimes you can build bad foundations with people. And once you build a bad foundation, as I build my house, it's not going to be sturdy. Something's going to have a crack. Something's going to have a leak. Either it could be a major crack or it could be a minor crack. It could be a major leak or a minor leak. We have to be careful when we're labeling. Who are we labeling? Why are we labeling? Is it a purpose? Is it a point? Because like I said, they label me as lazy. As everybody around me know, I'm not lazy. I just do stuff when I want to do it. If I don't want to do it, I don't. I mean, I can't be lazy and be a coach. That's impossible. So I want to do that. So I'm not lazy. I cannot be irresponsible and be a coach. Not when I have 14 boys with me at a time and it's just me and another somebody else. I cannot be irresponsible. I have to be responsible. So that's why I don't like labels, because I haven't lived up to any of those labels as my work is proven.
That's all right. That is all right.
Well, having observed you recently, Coach Lauren, I do think you're laid back and you dance to your own music and you're able to relate to your children for that reason. As a coach, you're able to talk to them, you're able to communicate with them, not raise your voice. When you're in communication one-on-one or they're in a group together, and you get the point across, totally different from the coach that's on the floor coaching the game. But you do a great job with it, and I do agree. I do agree that you do it to your pace. You dance to your own music, and I think that's a wonderful thing, a wonderful thing. Because I did not get that until I got older. And I think because you have it now, it will take you much further in your personal life and in your career. It's a wonderful thing to know yourself that way and to impact children. If you're working with a group of boys and you can impact them, you're doing a mighty good job in 2018.
Exactly. And we have to always keep in mind, one of my hashtags is keep on grinding. And one of the things I did when you talk about labels, I think I was labeled, especially in my profession. People used to tell me I used to just work all the time. You know, summertime when I'm over there working, there early and leaving late. So I always say my hashtag is keep on grinding. You know, the more you grind at what you're doing, the better you're going to be and more successful you're going to be in life. I think some of that has kind of been left out of our growth process within our young people and within our family. We got to keep on grinding. We can't give up just because I do it a way different from you. There's several ways to skin a cat. That's what I was told a long time ago. You don't have to do it the same way to get the same results. You know, that's why when we're talking about even in life as well as education or whatever, research-based. We base strategies on research-based. And if it's research-based, that means that several research vehicles being used to come up with a way to deal with certain problems. You know, our thing with our young people, since we're going to move forward and talk about family issues, you know, we can prepare and develop our children by putting in things in the right place, showing them. One thing is like the Missouri thing, or the state of Missouri, show me. How can I tell you if I can't show you? And Coach Smith can tell you that you're not going to be able to just tell kids to go out there and pass that ball, see that avenue and throw that ball, see that open spot, take that best shot. Sometimes you have to get out there and show them. And when you show, you're setting good examples for them. And, you know, as we talk about labels, you can get a label. If you're a laid-back person, you still can get the job done. If you are old bulldog-type coach that don't work too good with children no more, you don't do as well, but you might still have that label. So we have to make adjustments. Even though we have a label to do something, we have to make adjustments. But developing our young people to be successful is based on us leading, and leading by example. And that's so important. And that's, like I said, that's the next topic we're going to talk about, preparing and developing our children and families to be successful in life. You have that label, you're a go-getter. You have that label, you laid back. You have that label as a type A. And you have that label as a type C personality. Whatever it is, how do we go about preparing our young people? And it's through athletics. Coach Smith just shared what she's doing with our young people. We want you to share your thoughts, too. We want you to call in 347-857-4192. All right, team, what should we be able to do, and what should we work toward? What kind of plan we need to put together to prepare and develop our children and families to be successful for life? Whether it's education, whether it's social, whether it's political, or whatever, economically, whatever it may be. Share your thoughts on that.
Well, I think all of those in combination are what we need to move families forward. I mean, social, you know, the family energy, everybody being involved, you know, families being a part of their community, what's involved, be it church, be it the mosque, whatever they choose to have in their children's life. Because we start to develop morals, values. Children learn by example and observation, and we move forward with our children. But it does not mean letting the child lead the family. A parent has to lead the family. Because in some families, children break away, and they know that they're a little bit different. Children may break away from the group and start doing their own thing, and I think that's where we tend to lose our babies.
That's all right. That's awesome right there, because we really do. We have to understand our children have a mind of their own, and it doesn't, you know, with the way life is and the way things are going now, children, and it's truly this statement. And I had an opportunity to write a paper on this when I was going through my postgraduate work. And they just gave me this topic and told me to write 10 pages on it. Do you know what that topic was? Are we as adults smarter than a fifth grader? The question is, before you can prepare somebody, before you can help them develop into it, you've got to realize that maybe you might not be up to date on what's going on in society, even in education, to what children are learning now. Once we begin to understand that, we're talking about preparing them for success. Once we start understanding that, we must prepare our young people by teaching them to what they know instead of teaching them what we think they should know. We're not going to be able to just get anything out of them until we do that. For example, and I know we're going to kind of step off, and we talk about everything is all part of it. I mentioned all the categories, but for example, is education. I just said, are you smarter than a fifth grader? Everybody say yes, but I can guarantee you a proven fact. There's some fifth grade algebra that I was helping someone with, and I know I thought I knew some math, but I struggle myself. So if you're not prepared, get prepared. I always told my teachers that I dealt with as a supervisor, you don't have to be the smartest person in the room, but you need to be ahead of everybody in the room. You got to stay one step ahead of them. So our young people need to know that you are one step ahead of them and not even with them, because if you even, they don't have the same kind of respect for you like they should, because they think they just as smart as you are. So the point is, take note that they're always smarter than a fifth grader, because it's important. We're not going to be able to prepare our families, our children, if we don't understand that we must stay one step ahead of them. Give me your thoughts on that, team. Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I do agree that we have to be one step ahead of our children in terms of learning, in terms of helping them to develop, because, as you mentioned, the algebra. Well, if I don't understand the algebra, maybe the child can help me as much as they can learn it. Or I may have to go to the school and get a lesson or some directions from the teachers. But we have to be on point with education, because we're growing with the children. We're growing. And the different ways of doing math and algebra, we learn from the children.
Exactly. Yep. And you know, one
of the things that I would use and tell one of my nieces who was close to me, she always thought that I knew everything she was doing. To be honest, I did not. The thing is, I was trying to keep up with her through her studies and what she did. And through my life experience, I could always say to her, well, I know what you're doing before you do it. Did I know? No. But because I was trying to follow academically and socially, I could use some of my experience in that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's what it's all about. That's exactly what it's all about. If we're going to help develop our families to be successful, develop our children to be successful, we always got to know them there, let them know there's a buffer board there. There's somebody that is there kind of keeping them in check. You may not know all the things. I always just tell my students when I work with them and tell their parents, one of the things I always used to tell them, I said, you may not know algebra, you may not be able to read well, you may not do all the things, but if you just sit down with them and make sure they do it, they might teach you something. But all they want you to know, so when they, did I do okay? You said you completed it. It's not a such thing like an algebraic problem. It's not a, because they ain't going to write a wrong answer. They're not concerned. The results in algebra is not to find out what you got to write answer, as well as you knew the formula, the equation, and you was able to put it together to get, because it's several different answers for one problem. And people have to learn that and keep that in mind. So that is so important, that way to keep just being there and being that bumper board, letting them know that I support you, I'm with you. I might not know it all, but I know enough of that. As an adult, you have to be focused on what you're doing. I'm here to make sure you stay focused. I'm here to make sure you're on task. Then at the end, I am going to check it, not to see if you're right or wrong, but check it to make sure you have completed. And that's
right.
What they can take that back with them. Take it to school. Take it back with them. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Coach Smith, you got anything you want to add to that thought?
Yeah, we were talking about, I'm going to go back to this. I know we kind of move forward, but preparing young people, I guess, just preparing them for life and society. I always tell my kids, you know, talk to your parents. Don't talk at them, talk to them. Ask them things, and once they see that you're actually interested in whatever they're trying to inform you about, they'll start to tell you a lot more, but it's communication, and I focus on three things when it comes to development, socially developing you making sure that you're able to go out and sell yourself. When I say sell yourself, this is what I mean. Making sure that you're able to go out and speak for yourself, ask for things in a professional manner, talk up for yourself, present an idea that you have, anything like that, socially preparing kids to be successful in life, to economically preparing kids to be successful for life, teach kids about money management, teaching kids about responsibility when it comes to money, teaching kids about savings, things like that when it comes to economic, teaching about the economy, teaching about stocks, teaching about bonds, teaching about things like that. And the third one is education-wise. I make sure before we go anywhere and report cards have come out, I see your report card first. A 3.0 can get you a school, two, a D1, D2, NIA, whatever. 2.5 or lower, it could probably get you into a JUCO. A 1.5 can get you at the house studying and away from me. Because if you don't have education, you don't have anything, in my opinion, because basketball, football, hockey, track, whatever, that could be taken away in an instant. Just like myself, basketball has been taken away from me in an instant, just me not being able to play anymore. I'm glad I went to school. I did not focus on that. But just right now, I see that I need to probably push a little harder in school. I'm not going to be able to dribble a ball forever. I'm not going to be able to coach forever. But I'm going to always have my degrees. I'm always had the knowledge that I learned when I was in school. I'm always had it. So I kind of try to push those three things down my guy's throat and down people that I come in contact with. Even people that are the same age as me. I mean, I know everything, but what I do know, I share what I do know. They share what they know with me, and that's how growth takes place, and that's how people become better. So as long as we're improving when it comes to those three things, as long as parents are drilling those three things in their kids' heads, you're going to have an amazing child. You're gonna have to worry about little to nothing. So parents, if you're listening, make sure you kind of drill those three things in kids' head. And, you know, you don't have to worry about when they go out to school.
And, you know, Coach Lauren, I think that's critical. That is so critical, especially with the young black male. You are working with, you know, the young black male, a jewel of society. And if you're taking those young black males with you, you must teach them how to present themselves, how to be able to communicate and get their needs met wherever they travel to, and even in their places, because a lot of times when we get young black males, especially at the age you work with, well, sometimes we've lost them a long time ago. So it's a blessing that somebody has pulled them along and encouraged them to go forward. Because we need that strong male to be the backbone of the African-American community. We need him to be educated and to go as far as he or she can go in their lives. And see, you have your hand on that. You have a hand in that, making sure that there's progress at the table.
Awesome. That's awesome. And all we want to do is sit at the table. That's one thing I preach every day. We don't complain. Don't get your blood pressure up with what's going on politically on the national, local level. If you get a chance to sit at the table, you can also offer an opportunity for change. And what we're all about, and when we're talking about preparing and developing our children and families to be successful, we got to get them to understand, besides the thing that Lauren just mentioned and as well as Dr. Smith just mentioned, is that we got to be able to understand that we have to get a seat at the table. And whatever means that we think necessary to get a seat at the table, we can now begin to prepare our families, prepare the children, and yes, giving to our young African males and African-American males and giving them a chance and let them know that there's something out there better than jail or better than being deceased. It's a great opportunity out there, and it's enough resources to support you. So we are all about doing that, and that's what Talking Real to You is all about, sharing those thoughts. Now, we're down about 5 minutes to go with our time. The show went so fast tonight. And I'm so excited we're back on. So I want my co-host as well as my special guest expert. We're going to, you know, cut it off right here, and then we'll jump back at things on on next week, because we'll have some political results coming up next week in other states, as well as we already have some in Alabama, Florida, Georgia. We're going to get some in Georgia tomorrow and other places. We'll talk a little bit about the political arena next week. But we want to kind of close the show out right now. And my co-host, as well as my special guest expert, Dr. Smith and Lauren Smith, let's close it out how you see fit.
Well, in my community, we're voting. We're in Georgia. We're voting, primary voting tomorrow. So those of you who are in the local area, keep in mind that we need to get to the polls. There are runoffs, especially in my community. So I'm excited to get to the polls and be able to vote.
Awesome.
Okay, this is Coach Lauren Smith here. I got a couple things to say. I'm not going to take all of the 5 minutes we have remaining, but I just want to tell the people of District 78 here in Montgomery, Alabama, that we from the Kurt Hatchett campaign thank you dearly for coming out to the polls last Tuesday and electing or making Kurt Hatchett your Democratic representative on the ballot in November. We thank you so much. Representative Alvin Holmes had an amazing time in office. He was in office for 40-plus years. We thank you from District 78. Representative Alvin Holmes, you've done an amazing job. But yeah, it's time for a change, new voice, new vision. We own it. Come out in November and vote. Same way we came out last Tuesday, we need District 78 back out in November to vote. Also, as a lot of people know, and if you don't know, listen to the show, I'm headed off to grad school in 2 weeks to Alabama A&M University in Huntsville, Alabama. I will be going to study, do my master's in kinesiology. And I have a gift registry right now going on at Target and Bed Bath & Beyond. The gift registry is in my name. It's Lorien Smith. You know, I would appreciate it if, you know, you can get a couple items on it. If you can't get a couple, just make sure I see you before I leave. I can get some encouraging words because I'm going to need all of it. It was great to be back tonight. I'm excited for a Wednesday night show as well as next Monday. So thank you.
Awesome, awesome team. I do appreciate you. You did a wonderful job, both of you tonight, Dr. Smith and Coach Smith. I appreciate you being with us on Talking Real to You. It's always a pleasure. It is a family affair. So what we want to do is get ready to kind of wrap everything out. On Wednesday night, we'll be back here again at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. And that's Talking Sports Plus, hosted by myself, Dr. Rosa D. Smith, my co-hosts are Coach Tony Starworth, Coach Romaine Edwards, Coach Lauren D. Smith, and Coach of the Airways, Darren E. Train Ellis. So make sure you join us. We enjoy tonight. We're going to close this thing out tonight. We don't have the rights to this song, this music, but we want to play it. It's entitled "Won't He Do It?" So have an awesome night, and we'll talk with you on next week on Monday night, as well as we're gonna go Wednesday night with you. And we're looking for a ball on the top hot sports topic. So have a great night. Keep on grinding.
And again, congratulations, Coach Smith, on your acceptance to graduate school. Congratulations.
Awesome, awesome. Y'all have both have a wonderful night, and everybody else have a great night. Because, no, he will do it. Won't he do it? Good night, and we'll talk with you next Monday, but also on Wednesday night with the Talking Sports Club, and Friday with Ballin' with the Doc. Have an awesome night.
time.